Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and a very warm welcome to Radio Islam International on this Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. Today is a beautiful, warm day, alhamdulillah. And another reason that it's so beautiful is we have a special guest in studio today, Tasneem Saeed, also known as Chef Taz Saeed. And she's here to tell us a little bit about her Hajj experience, her Umrah experience rather, and her last year's Hajj experience. For those of you that are going for Hajj, or those of you that have returned from Hajj, etc., just a reminder of what Hajj is about, and for those of you that are still going, maybe some tips and advices from Tasneem. She has been there now for Ramadan, Umrah, alhamdulillah. She was fortunate to be there, and she can tell us more about what's different and the highlights, the lowlights, and all of those things, inshallah. So without further ado, let's get into it. Let's welcome our guest, Tasneem Saeed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me on your show, Afa Suraya.
It's a pleasure, always. Tasneem, let's start with your Hajj first. I think Hajj would be better since you were there last year. It's still quite fresh in your memory. So tell us a little bit about your Hajj.
Wow, where do I begin? I mean, last year, alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity to go for Hajj after yearning and yearning and yearning. And that moment when Allah accepted to go for Hajj, it's just so overwhelming and heart-touching. And it's like Apa Rehana Shah Bulbulia said in her Hajj class before I went for Hajj classes, and she said, Hajj is a journey of a lover to his beloved. And that just sums it up. Everything we do, I mean, every step we take, every breath we take, everything we do, every salam, it's all for the pleasure of Allah, and it's all going towards Allah. And like the Sahaba radiallahu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perfected their deen 13 years after Nabuwat. He perfected their deen, he made fikr on their hearts. And like we, when we get accepted for Hajj, we don't have much time to perfect our deen, but we should start from now. The minute we accepted for Hajj, we already are Haji. We should start the change, we should start the intention, we should make innamal a'malu binniyat, everything, every action is judged by its intention. And for Allah, we should change. Not now, and not say when we come back from the Hajj and on the plane we'll change and, you know, start our life then, but we should start now before Hajj, try and perfect our deen. And with Ramadan, alhamdulillah, they just passed, we can keep the momentum up and keep the spirits up. And you know, we're so closely connected to Allah. I mean, alhamdulillah, Ramadan was not so long ago, and we're still like spiritually connected to Allah. So Allah has so much of mercy by giving us the month of Ramadan to connect to Him before we go for Hajj.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, like, I mean, if Ramadan was in the beginning of the year, by the time Hajj comes, we need to reconnect with Allah, like, in another way, you know. So for Allah, we need to change, we need to better ourselves, we need to make intentions before we leave. Like, we want to be better Muslims, better Mu'mins, better Ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regardless of whether anyone witnesses what we do or what actions we're doing, we still know that we are committed to our intention.
Of course, most definitely. And I think the most important thing, I think we should have actually started with that, is that a Haji is the guest of Allah. And before you can go on goal setting and understanding what you're going to do and all of that, you first need to understand what it is to be a Haji. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described a Haji as Allah's guest who Allah invited and He responded. So beautiful that is, that Amazing. He responded to Allah's call. So firstly, it's not a holiday. You know, a lot of us think that, oh, it's so, you know, it's this amazing trip, and we go and I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to eat here, and I'm going to do that, and I can't wait to see this. But we guests of Allah, and for most of us, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. We don't know if we'll ever go back again, either for an Umrah or Hajj. You don't know. So, you know, we need to also do the best that we can do. And Allah says in the Holy Quran about Hajj, He says, take provisions with you for the journey, but the best provision is taqwa, which is to have that consciousness of Allah. So it's important that you said from now we start preparing. You know, it's like Ramadan. You can't prepare on that first day or you're never going to make the most of it. So the minute you get accepted for Hajj, I think immediately you have to start reforming your mind, your heart. Don't say, okay, you know what, I'll come back, or when I'm there, I'll change. You know, start from now, so Allah starts accepting you from now.
It's true, and like in Hajj, we actually practicing what both prophets did. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And like Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had the highest form of taqwa, like I used to say. He obeyed without understanding, and that is what we need to understand our Hajj. Like, we need to have two things: reliance on Allah and obedience of Allah. To Allah, obviously, and that will be the everything, and it will just like make everything so easy.
Of course, most definitely.
And like you said, we have one Farad Hajj, and after that, even if we go every year, it will be Nafil Hajjs.
Yes.
So
yes.
We need to make the most of it. We need to invest in this Hajj and make the most, make it a Hajj maqbool and mabroor, inshallah.
Inshallah, for all the Hajjs, inshallah. And Tasneem, so you've been for Hajj, right? And now you've just come back from Umrah. Okay. So tell us a little bit about what was different.
Sure. Like, you know, when you go for Hajj, then you, alhamdulillah, like, I'm so blessed, firstly, like, you know, to have that opportunity. But when you go for a Hajj, then you do make a Umrah. But I don't know if, like, I don't know, compared to Ramadan, Umrah, you have limited amount of time because you just have the nights and the days. There's nothing to do. You sleep from Fajr till Zohar, and then after Zohar you're awake, and then from Asr right after Taraweeh till Qiyam al-Layl you're in the Haram. So the whole entire night you're in the Haram, so you're limited with time. And you appreciate your time in Hajj, because in Hajj you realize you have so much of time. There's so much of things you could do during the day, during the night, every Salah. Like, I realize that now going for Umrah in Ramadan that you're limited with time, whereas in Hajj you have so much amount of time and you need to treasure it and make the most of it. And alhamdulillah, like the most beloved days to Allah are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and the most beloved nights to Allah are the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So alhamdulillah, I got the opportunity to be a part of both.
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, Allah take us all.
Inshallah. And you know, Tasneem, I know I've been for Hajj many years ago, man. 2010, I've been for Hajj, alhamdulillah. But I don't know if this happened to you. When you come back, there are certain memories that you wouldn't trade or you wouldn't change at all. And then there are some things that you wish you made better use of, or you wish that you just basically did a little more, right? Did you have any of those regrets?
Like, sort of regret?
Yes.
Yeah. I think every Haji has that regret, and you told make the most of it, don't come home with that regret. But then you somehow, I think maybe it's the heart of a mu'min that you feel that you're never good enough or you never did enough that you should. I mean, the minute you like content with how much you did, like, oh, I did so much, I'm a good Muslim, then you know you should worry. But I think when you know you didn't do enough, then that just makes you want to go back and do more. And
yes,
you know, you have like you yearn and you make more sincere dua that Allah take me back, or you learn from those mistakes. And like I said, in Hajj I had so much of time compared to Ramadan, where I realized I didn't have so much of time. So in that regret, I think it's always like people say, they give you advice, like, plan when you go for Hajj. And it's so important to plan your days, to plan your itineraries, to set goals for yourself. If you want to make a khatam in Medina, a khatam in Makkah, and another khatam during Hajj, you can do it if you just plan yourself and you set your priorities accordingly. And there's nothing that can stop you because you have so much of time, and it will only draw you closer to Allah.
Of course. And you know, if you don't have your goals set out, I find that's when you probably will have more regrets, is that you didn't, you basically, the days just slipped away from you. And if you have a goal, like you say, for your maybe how many paras you want to finish, or your du'as and all of that. And I think that's a very important advice for all of the hajis that are going, is please keep a diary. I think that is very important. I, when I was in Hajj, I kept a diary. And why I say keep it, there are certain feelings that you go through, like you're sitting at the haram and you have a certain incident or a feeling or
emotion.
Something. Yes, an emotion. And you write it down. I used to write everything in my Hajj. So I kept my diary. And I looked at it about a couple of months ago. I opened it. And it was so amazing because it reconnects you, especially when you have a slump in your ibadah now. Mm. Or you have a slump and you think like, oh, you know, I don't know where I'm at. You go back and you look at that and you think, this is the spiritual high that I was once on. And it can happen again. And I feel that every Haji should have a diary. And in your diary, have a goal list. Like, not just vague goals like, I want to be a better Muslim. You know, before you go for Hajj, people always ask you, I don't know if they asked you this, but everyone asked me, so what's going to change?
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you going to change? Like, you're going to come back dressed this way, or you're going to come back doing this?
Yeah.
You know, people expect this of you, right? And most people say, no, I just want to be a better Muslim, right? And that is kind of vague. Because you need to know what your goal is and you have to make a change. And, you know, at the end when you're done with your Hajj, it has to carry you through. Not for a 1 month or 1 day, it has to carry you through.
Forever.
Forever.
And I think like there's an ayat in the Quran that Allah says like Allah only, something to the effect that Allah only change a person if he himself wants to change himself.
Yes.
Like, you know, and I think when you know your Hajj is accepted is you come home and you change. You know, like so many people, when I came back from Hajj, you think it's so easy, like when I go for Hajj, I'm going to change. And you think, it will be so easy, like, you know, to change. But it's actually a sacrifice and you need to stay focused. You need to remember that Allah accepted your Hajj, so you need to change for life, like, you know. And there's something, I don't know, when I came back from Hajj, and a few of my friends also noticed it, that you come home maybe like a newborn baby, but you feel like a stranger to the world.
100%. Some of the time the plane lands, I think you're a stranger.
Yes, but you feel like you in your home, you're with your family, you met your family, your parents, your children, whoever, you back to routine, but you feel like you don't belong.
Yes.
And that's when it's evident that you are not made for this world, but you're made for Jannah.
Of course. This world is never going to be perfect. And you realize that why you're so happy in Hajj is because you're practicing what you were created for, which is ibadah, worshipping Allah. So you're so happy and so content. And the minute you land here, I know the minute we landed, it's depressing and you feel like, oh, I'm back to this world.
Yeah.
And there it was so much of peace and so, you know, it was different.
You were doing what you were meant to
do. Of course, you were doing what you were meant to do. And you know, the sad part is that we have all these goals when we're there. And then we come back and it, like for a week maybe, it carries on, or for 2 weeks, and then we're back to normal, right? And when I was in Hajj, I heard this talk. And the Mulana had told us that when you go back from Hajj, you're either going back with a teaspoon or a tablespoon or a cup. You decide. Teaspoon meaning maybe your change is going to be a week and you're going to be back to normal. A tablespoon maybe in a month, right? Or a cupful. You decide, is that change going to be for a few months, a few weeks, a few months, or is it going to be lifelong? And I think it's very, very easy for all of us to forget the goals or forget the vows we made in Hajj. So when we do that, we have to stick to it and realize that the test is now when we're back home to carry it through.
Yes. The test is forever now.
Forever.
Because you have that opportunity and make shukr. And show Allah that you're grateful that He washed away your sins. So stay dedicated, stay focused.
Of course, and it's very easy to lose
and like
focus.
And like Jannah is surrounded by difficulty, and Jahannam is surrounded by ease. Mm-hmm. So if we want Jahannam, it's going to be easy for us to stay back and lay back as Muslims, and it will be easy for us to get Jahannam. But if we want Jannah, we have to strive and we have to fight for it.
Of course. So let me just stop there. I just want to remind the listeners that you can call in if you have anything to share. If you are a Haji that's going for Hajj, inshallah, or you've returned from Hajj and you have advices for your fellow Hajis, please call in on 011-854-1548. Tell us what you think is important for this trip or what has helped you. You know, we all learn from each other's mistakes. And inshallah, it will help someone out there and you will get rewarded for it. So please feel free to call on 011-854-1548. I think we can go for a quick ad break, and when we get back, we're going to discuss the different points and advices and tips on what to take for Hajj and how to prepare yourself, Mina, Azizia, and all of the rest, inshallah, when we get back. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome back to Radio Islam International. You are listening to Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. I'm sure most of you heard that and you're probably shivering, shaking, thinking about did I open fast early that day or not, because that's going through my mind right at this moment. I need to go back and check, inshallah. Okay, so we're back with the Hajj goal setting, and we are chatting to Sister Tasneem Saif, also known as Chef Tasneem Saif, for those of you that know her from the other programs. But I was just wondering now whether she brought me any dessert, since she's a chef, but I don't know, maybe it's behind somewhere. Is it, Stephanie?
It's Shawwal, and we fast 6 days in Shawwal.
Okay, so maybe for iftar.
Inshallah. If you break it at the right time.
Okay. Okay, so Tasneem, before the break, so we were speaking about the, you know, the mistakes and regrets that some of us have when we come back, and you know, it is normal, definitely it is normal, and I think that is the state of a believer, that we should never be satisfied with where we at, and we always yearn to do more. But if we also, on the other hand, if we know that, you know, there are certain things that we're doing that we can avoid doing, you know, learn from our mistakes, then we should take from there. And you mentioned something about a dua list.
Yeah. So I think also, like, you know, on the days that you go to the during Hajj, you have so much of time to sit at the Rawdatul Riyadul Jannah, because before the crowds start coming in, so you have time to make the dua, or before, or just daily, like your tahajjud time, you have so much of duas. And then when you go for Umrah, when you see the Kaaba the first time, you have so much of duas that your hearts just flow, and like your tears just flow, and you have so much of duas. But then it comes to the days of Hajj, and then it's the day of Arafah, the best day that the sun rises, and you like have 5 hours to talk to Allah and make dua, and suddenly you're just like overwhelmed. You don't know where to begin. You don't know where to start. So make a dua list, all the duas from now for your life, for your akhirah, for your qabr, for your parents, for the marhums, marhumas, all the people who passed away, for your next generations, your children and the children to come, and all our deen and all our iman, all these duas, we should write it down. So on the day of Arafat, it will help us remember what we want to say to Allah. And I mean, that's the one day you have the jackpot to ask for whatever you want. You don't want to miss the opportunity.
Of course.
So write down dua lists, write down intentions as well. And there's so much things that you can, in the My Companion, there's a dua section at the back of the kitab.
Yes.
That is a Monday to Friday dua. And if you read some of it, it helps you like inspire yourself of what to ask for.
Of course, definitely. So like spiritual preparation is very important. I think we can't just get into it and not know what it is that we want to achieve. So a dua list would probably be the first thing, you know, your intention obviously, and then the dua list. And also it's very important that from now you prepare your heart.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going for Hajj, you can't say, okay, you know what, on that day I'll cover my hair, or, you know, I'll do this on that day. Start from now, because yeah. Allah accepted you, and you don't even know whether you're going to reach Hajj, the days of Hajj. So at least if now you start, Allah judges you by your intention. So the fact that you're trying to change, if you die before Hajj even, Allah accepts it, inshallah.
Inshallah. And like start making the intention, like Allah accepted you as a Haji already. So make intentions, make your heart the way Allah wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Start behaving, start changing your character the way a Haji should act. Like, free yourself from the dunya. Some people, when they go for Hajj, they're just crying for their children the whole entire entire time, that they don't realize they're in front of the Kaaba.
Of course.
You know, and it's hard. Okay, maybe I'm not a parent, but it's hard if you miss your children and you miss your family, but you're there. There's so much that, I mean, the farishtas and Allah are taking care of them back home, but you are there and you can do so much more for them. By freeing yourself from the dunya, you can make dua for them, you can free yourself from all the other idols that we sort of like are slaves to, like, I mean, our nafs, our jobs, our wealth, our fame, all these other things. We need to free ourselves. We need to love the way Allah wants us to. And like I said, be like how Ibrahim alayhi salam was, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He obeyed without understanding.
Of course.
If azan goes, we don't immediately go to our musalla. Like, try to change little things. It's the little things that we do consistently that Allah loves.
Of course.
So change the little things from now. Change our salah patterns. Let's be dedicated Muslims.
Yes.
Because it will never change when we're there.
And consistency is definitely key, because Allah loves those actions that are done, even little, but they're done consistently. So that's a very important thing you mentioned, that even if that changes, the fact that you hear the adhan and go to your musalla, then alhamdulillah, you've changed so much, right? Jeez. And you know, you mentioned something very important. You said, you mentioned kids. And I know when I was in Hajj, there were people around me that would pine for their kids. And I left my tour at that time. Let's just hold for a moment. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Gee, I can hear you.
I'm listening to the program, alhamdulillah. Here's some word of advice for our sisters. In my years that I've been, alhamdulillah, I've seen this with a lot of sisters, mostly sisters that don't wear hijab here in South Africa, and then obviously you have to wear when you're going for Hajj. But what I've noticed is they wear the parda when they're going to the Roza Mubarak, and as soon as they walk out of the haram, the parda is out, and then the dupattas are on, and the makeup is on, and then they're visiting the malls and things like that. My just some word of advice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all over. He's in South Africa, in Makkah, Medina, London, everywhere. So my advice is, if you are going to be wearing your parda day, you're going to wear it when you come back home. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be wearing hijab, you wear your hijab when you return home. Mm-hmm.
Very important. I think that is important. And also, I think we tend to forget sometimes that where we are, what a beautiful place we are at. And that's another thing that I've noticed, is also that we start to make friends and then go out at night and all of the rest. And we forget that we have such limited time, and our focus then is on making friends, and then there's the intermingling where we all go out at night. And I think that's a very, very important advice.
Gee, I've seen that happen. I've seen it with our close friends, families, where when they come back to South Africa, they're back to normal, no hijab, no nothing. Also, another advice is, you need to sacrifice when you're in Makkah and Medina with your accommodation, your food. What you don't get at home, you're not going to get there. So for those few weeks that you're going to be there, you need to make sabr. And don't blame the agent for everything, because sometimes it's not in their hands.
Very true.
And inshallah, I wish all those that are going for Hajj, Hajj Mabrur, Hajj Maqbool, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all ibadahs. And remember the Ummah in your du'as.
Ameen. Jazakallah for those wonderful advices, sister. Inshallah, someone listening out there will take heed, inshallah. And thank you.
Ameen.
Walaikum salam. So, Sister Tasneem, I think that was very important. I think that generally does happen in Azizia, you would say?
Yes. Now, I think like as the caller says, as you were saying, the thing is, when you go for Hajj, you have so much of time on your hands. You spiritually building up from Ramadan, and then you go to Medina, and you go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you offer him a gift. I don't know if we spoke about that, but you offer Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a gift when you see him, because, I mean, the thing is, he's done so much for us. And if you listen to his sira from any mufti or anyone before you go, then it builds that love for him. So read 1,000 times Surah Kawthar and present it as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because I mean, what gift would be better?
Yes, and the Surah Kawthar, that's
and that was given to him as a gift by Allah. So read it 1,000 times on the plane, and then you go there and you present it to him and you witness that he's the last and final prophet, and you just thank him, and then you spiritually high, and then you go to Mecca, and then you see Baytullah, and you spiritually high, and then suddenly it's the days of Hajj, just before Hajj, and everybody has to move to Aziziyah, and it's packed and it's busy, and for you to get to Mecca, it's sort of a mission, because sometimes the taxi companies are closed or the buses are closed for Eid or something like that, and or it's a mission just to get a taxi because everybody is up and about. And so when you're in Aziziyah, they say besides the mosquitoes, they use shaitan that pests you more, because he's around the corner, the jamarat's around the corner.
Yeah.
So they sort of like work on you, and like it's your resistance change. You're out of your
I think also Aziziyah itself is a test.
Yes.
Because the minute you reach Aziziyah, I don't know, but you feel like you it's a different place completely. It's like you don't even feel
you don't know where you are.
You don't. You don't even feel that you're that close to the Kaaba.
Exactly.
So immediately that depression of being away from the Kaaba is there, and that is when, as the caller said, that is when the shopping starts, when people start to dress up and leave, and that is when the groups form. You know, the men and women start going out at night, and you see coffee and all, because there's nothing for them to do. A lot of them don't go to the Kaaba because of the transport problems.
Yeah.
So what they do is everyone tends to go out at night, and then you sit, laugh, talk, and it's so easy to forget.
And it's shaitan, and it's the most important days just before your Hajj, and you basically, it could make you or it could break you, but remember your goals. And like, and you know what's funny is that, Abba Suraya, that you warned about this, every Hajj class you go, that they say the ayat of the Quran, Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat, faman farada fiina al-Hajj fala rafatha wala fusuqa wala jidala fil Hajj. They say those ayats, and they keep, like I think now after you've gone for Hajj and you experience it, you hear those ayats of the Quran and you cry, because you know what weight they have, what feeling, what deepness there is behind those words. Like fala rafatha means no immodesty. From now, before you leave for Hajj, in the bus, in the airports, they shouldn't be mingling with Haji Bai and Haji Ben and coffee shops and suppers and malls and, you know, and intermingling and just, I know it's hard. I mean, Allah is beautiful and created the most beautiful of creation, but lower your gaze. Mm. And inshallah, it will be easy. And then the next one is no wickedness. Wala fusuqa. It means...
Tasneem? If we can just take a call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, Suraya and Sister Tasneem, it's Sister Amara. Lovely show you ladies are doing, really enjoying today's program. Jazakallah.
That's lovely.
Jazakallah, Amara.
Ameen. Tasneem, how are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah.
Suraya, I love to be on your show. Really lovely topic as well. I want to share some tips also, you know. You lady spoke about Aziziyah. And I think, you know, once you move to Aziziyah, you know, if you can make it, go to the Haram, even if you leave after Maghrib, after Isha, and take a taxi there, you know. Mm. And you can still go and make a tawaf or something like that.
Even
if you don't make a tawaf, it's full, the crowds are full. Mm. So watch it, just go and sit in the Haram. Because looking at the Kaaba also, you get rewarded for that as well.
Alhamdulillah, you do. And I think it is more, people find it difficult to go. But I think if you keep going, then there is that spiritual connection that's still there.
Well, you must see according to your health also, you know.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you're feeling well, you can go. And also something for the Hujjaj, because well, inshallah, be going. You know, once you get to Aziziyah, like the first day, you might feel a bit depressed. Because now you're away from the Haram, you know. And now you're away from the Haram. I think maybe you feel a bit depressed in that way also.
You
feel anxious, you feel excited, you feel nervous now, because the days of Hajj are coming up soon, you know. So in that way also, you know, you like mixed emotions.
Yes.
So in that way, still go to the Haram if you can make it. Still go to the Haram, like I said, go and sit then just to get the Kaaba. If you can't do that, then, you know, trying, you know, spiritually uplift yourself, you know.
Yes.
Even the ladies get together, don't sit and chit-chat, you know. Mm-hmm. Once you get to Aziza, you'll see everybody's things come out, everybody's moods come out, everybody's gossip stories come out, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, try to avoid it. And you find it mostly among the women that are sharing rooms now.
Mm-hmm.
And they complain about this one, complain about that one. Just keep to yourself, you know. I don't mean keep to yourself on your own, be snobbish, no. But, you know, be a group, this collective group, share some, maybe, certain talk, how can we spiritually uplift ourselves. You will get the ulama to share with you, to spiritually uplift you, to give you talks about your hajj, the days are coming near.
Mm-hmm.
So make use of that as well. Try and read lots of Quran as well, instead of sitting and chatting and things like that. And do your shopping. This is a nice way to do shopping. Get lovely things there. And shop, you know. There's no such thing as don't shop. Shop.
Mm.
Which is supporting the shopkeepers of Mecca and Medina as well. So there's also a reward.
Yes.
But do everything in moderation.
Balance yourself.
Jazakallah for the lovely show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Tamara. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Tasneem, I think Amara is like, she hit the nail on the head, right? Because that's exactly what happened.
Balance yourself. Mm-hmm. Balance yourself. And in this, you have so much of time. There's so much of talim gathering that we could go for,
mm-hmm.
these bayan that we could go for. And also among yourselves, the ladies that who you live with, by instead of chit-chatting, why don't you take out your hajj notes from your hajj classes and revise it, you know?
Or motivate each other. You know, it's fine to talk and it's fine to be in gatherings. It's also fine to laugh a little. That's fine. But every little bit that you are together, you must always remember that you have to mention or remember Allah. Always. And I think we must realize also that, as Sister Amara said, that, you know, a woman start to bicker, and we always hear these stories when we get back, like, you know, this group started to fight and that, you know, argue and whatever. And I think we can control that if we can tell ourselves that it's a test from the beginning to the end. And you know, everyone tells you, you're going to be tested in Hajj.
Yes.
You're definitely going to be tested.
Because of that.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, from the time you, for us, I mean, the test happened as soon as we landed.
Yes.
There was a 6-hour waiting at the airport.
Yeah.
And it was extremely long. And I was pregnant at that time. And it was long. But you know, I had that mindset that Allah is going to test me.
Yes.
And I'm not going to fail.
Yes.
So I took it in my stride, and it was like an adventure.
See?
So I think it's also your mindset.
And you know, Afa Suraya, it's like when you say labbaik, you're basically testifying that it's only Allah that is there, and it's all good and bad is from Him. So you need to accept it. And like I was just going to say, the next point, wala fusuqa, in that ayat,
mm-hmm.
was those sins that that Afa Amara like mentioned, like those sins of Toba that we make Toba for, but we will still get punished because we haven't left that sin. And that's one of those examples, Azibat.
Mm-hmm.
So stay away. And like I said, you mentioned Allah warns us in the Quran about these things, and we still do it, you know. And inshallah, the right intentions, may Allah make all the haji strong enough to stay away from all these mistakes. And the next one is wala jidala. No fighting and no arrogance, no complaining. Your resistance changes, your luxuries change, your food changes, you change weather, climate,
the toilets change
a lot, and your company change. And sometimes you like standing in a queue, or you say you go early to the haram, it's Jummah, and you sitting there from 9 o'clock, and just 5 minutes before Jummah Salah, someone just jumps onto you, on your space, and it's sort of like, it makes you snap.
Yes.
But the one thing that will help you remember not to snap is that you must think that everyone is better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge that person, the way they dress, the way they are. Think that person is more beloved in the eyes of Allah, or he has more taqwa than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that person was accepted for Hajj a long time ago, before you were.
Yes.
And you were just a wild card, and Allah looked at you with mercy and said, okay, you can go for Hajj. I mean, if Allah looks at all our sins, would we even be able to go for Hajj?
Of course. And you know, that's very important. I think an open mind. It's good that you mentioned that, because a lot of us go, a lot of people that go for Hajj go thinking that there's only one way to follow deen. And you go for Hajj and you see these people from every single continent across the globe. You see them there performing Salah in different ways, reading Quran in different ways, dressing in different ways. And that is when you need to keep an open mind, that you know what, these people all have learned. Everyone is following Allah. Allah has accepted them. It doesn't, you know, we mustn't go with the mindset that the way we follow is the right way.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's Allah is looking and Allah knows how they've learned. And so, you know, it's very easy to judge and to point and how, why is she reading like that or why is she doing this. But remember that there's different approaches and there's different madhabs, there's different things. So we all are going to follow it in different ways.
And like, just think, everybody, we are all equal. There's no prince and no princess in Hajj. There is no rich or poor man. We all wear the simple clothing. We all equal. And we all, at the end of the day, have the kalima in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we all are the ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, we will all be there again together on the day of Arafah and the day of Qiyamah.
Inshallah.
So like, you think, that's your fellow brother and sister. And the one important thing before I forget to mention is Allah Ta'ala says, Rasulullah says in a hadith that two things and Allah will accept your Hajj. And we think now, what two things would Allah accept our Hajj? Must we make more tawas? Do we felt the shaitan more? Or like, what will it be that Allah will accept our Hajj? And it's two small things. One is make salam, and the second one, feed the poor. And if you think about it, those are things we can do here. But Allah is saying, go to Mecca and I will accept your Hajj if you make salam and feed the poor. Afshu salam bainakum, it brings unity, it humbles you. And also, if you make salam 20 times first in salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, to 20 people a day, Jannah becomes wajib on you. So how easy is our deen?
Of course, it's so easy, it's so simple. And you know, talking about ease and simplicity, you know, don't overwhelm. I always tell people that are going for Hajj, don't overwhelm yourself by taking these thick files and these thick books, and you don't know what you're reading because you are trying to do 50 things at once. It's so simple, even when you're making tawaf. You know, when we went, my brother was with, and I laughed on the plane because I saw his big book that he was trying to memorize. And I laughed and I said to him, it's not like that. You know, and then if you're going to do that and you're going to stare at all your books, you're looking out, pick up your head and look at the Kaaba and look at it. And Allah is so Ghafoor Rahim that He accepts your dua. And it's simple duas. Don't look for these long things that you don't understand.
Make it from your heart.
The sincerity is what Allah is looking for.
Yeah.
And another thing, Tasneem, physical preparation. I think most of us forget that we need to prepare physically.
You have to. Like, I feel like you have to, whether it's take a jog around the block or run or get your body healthy, start taking vitamins, take your iron, take your minerals, whatever it is, also pack, rehydrate.
Yes.
Because it's so hot there, it's 50 degrees. Take a flask with you, because the minute you're sitting in your Mina tents, that bottle of water is already boiling hot.
Mm.
And so put in a flask, it will keep it cool, take a packet of rehydrate, just keep yourself hydrated all the time.
There's many cases of dehydration, and I think a lot of women in our group also, a lot of women get dehydrated because they're not drinking water because they don't want to visit the toilet.
Same.
So they tell you, no, I'm not going to drink because I don't want to go to the toilet.
What?
But don't do this, because this is zulm to your body.
Yes, and you need to invest in your health. You need to get your body active and healthy, for those 5 days are the most important days of your life. They're the most important days. I mean, some people say invest in what tour package are you getting, what hotel in Mecca, what hotel in Medina. But I think it doesn't matter what hotel you take in Mecca and Medina. It matters what you're spending in your days of Hajj. Like, you need to make your Hajj easy for you.
Of course, 100%.
Otherwise, you're going to be so bombed out with all the heat and the tiredness, walking to the Jamarat in that heat, in that weather. And then you're not going to have the strength to make ibadah. So get yourself physically up and ready.
I was reading one of the Hajis, one of the ladies that has been for Hajj. She wrote an article and she said, if you realize that you're going for Hajj, then start immediately, take walks, start going for long walks. Because it's very difficult if you have no form of exercise and then you suddenly expected to walk miles and miles, you know. So start from now and prepare yourself, even with the eating, the food, all of that. It's a spiritual preparation.
See.
Inshallah. Okay, Tasneem, I see we have come to the end of the program. Jazakallah Allah reward you for coming in and sharing those lovely tips, advices, and all of the rest with us. And we look forward to having you again in the future, inshallah.
Jazakallah, Abba Suraya, for taking me down memory lane with everything. It was amazing. Jazakallah, and inshallah, may Allah accept all the listeners' hajj and make it easy for them.
Ameen, ameen. Okay, so to the listeners, next week, Tuesday, inshallah, we are going to be interviewing Sister Khudeja Porchi, who's written the story or the novel, The Empty Chair. It's about her mom that passed away. And please start sending in questions or suggestions or advices on mothers, because we are going to be airing next week, inshallah, and we're giving away a copy of Khudeja's books to the first lucky caller next week, inshallah. So we look forward to that also. And we have come to the end of our program, so inshallah, until next week, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.